Good morning. It's 14th of April. Our New Testament reading today is John 6. I'm going to read to you from Brother Melva Purkis. He describes the feeding of the 5,000 and then writes this. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The true meaning of the broken bread and the proximity of the Passover emerges here. The bread is not only the bread of life from heaven that man must eat to have everlasting life. It is also the living bread which the Son identifies as his flesh, which must be given for the life of the world. Once more the Jews broke into the discourse, striving between themselves. But Jesus repeated his words with a clarity which could not be misunderstood, although the meaning eluded them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. The Son prophesied not only of his death, but of the everlasting life which would come forth from it. As the living Father had sent him, and he lived by the Father, so by partaking of his flesh and his blood, those who had been taught of God should live by him. The deep meaning that lay behind those words was not revealed until he spoke to the 12 alone in the upper room. It could not be understood in its fullness until he rose again from the dead. Most of those who then heard placed a crude construction upon these words and alienated themselves from Jesus. It was a great apostasy. There was unbelief among many of his disciples too. Does this offend you? There will be a greater strain upon their faith in days to come. It was not the actual eating of his flesh that would give life. It was the conscious assimilation of his life conveyed through belief in his words. Jesus knew from the beginning those who had been drawn by the Father and committed to his care. He knew, too, the terrible role to be played by one of the 12. The crowds had left him. The disciples were divided. The apostles had a cell of wickedness in their midst. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. There is a compelling significance in the words, went back. They returned to the company of those who ate manna in the wilderness and were dead. There could be no compromise between life and death. A few hours ago, Jesus had had to compel the multitudes to go away from him. No compulsion was necessary now. Puzzled and antagonized, they left him. It was a moment of crisis for the 12 also. The physical storm on the waters the previous night was followed by a spiritual upheaval as violent and dangerous. Their master constrained them to take this voyage of faith as certainly as he had compelled them into the boat. As the crowds left him, the moment of decision came. Had they understood their master's words, the general desertion would have troubled them not at all. But the night was dark, and their Lord seemed far away. He turned to them now. Will ye also go away? No, the crisis was past. Little as they understood the deep things he had said, they believed on him with all their hearts. Peter again became their spokesman. Once more his voice carried across the dark waters of doubt which had, for a while, separated them from their Lord. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And to those words, I think we can all say, Amen. Thank you for listening.